What does the Holy Spirit look like? I want you to ponder this for a moment. What do you expect to see or experience if the Holy Spirit comes? Have you thought much about it? We talk about the Holy Spirit. What does it look like? So often we may think of the Holy Spirit like we do in our readings for today, where it's this big event with fire and tongues of fire coming down, and all of a sudden these people are speaking in lots of languages, this profound moment, this encounter. We don't see that very often, but the Holy Spirit still is around. He still speaks. He still does what he needs to. So how do we notice the Spirit? Now, for most of us, the movement of the Spirit can be fairly subtle. He kind of moves through like a breeze or kind of shines like the sun. He's there, we know it, but we don't always recognize it. Let me give you a few examples. So right now in the United States, about 10% of the United States is Catholic. With that number in mind, keep in mind that half of our Supreme Court justices are Catholic, and a large number of our senators, congressmen, and governors, and political people throughout the country are also Catholic, higher than the percentage of Catholics. The reason why I bring this up is to make a point. Through the gifts of the Spirit that come through our faith, people have the gift of judgment. They have administration. They have lots of different gifts used in various different ways. And so we should see a higher number of Catholics taking positions like that because we have that grace within us. In the same way, as we look across our church, we see avenues and aspects where the Spirit is working, inspiring communities, seeing new things going on. All these things are part of the gifts of the Spirit. It's all around us. We need to be aware of it. The challenge for us is we often like to think of our faith almost like it's a trophy. We do these things, we have events, they have an endpoint, or we have a rite of passage, and we're done. Yay, we're baptized. I have my little trophy saying I'm baptized, put up my wall, we're good. When it comes to confirmation, I got my cool certificate, look, I'm confirmed, put up my wall, I'm done. That's not how it works. These are actually moments where we begin a life anew, not end something. The gift of confirmation, something that we often dismiss, is that confirmation pervades our entire life. It continues to inspire us with the gifts of the Spirit and help us to work through the challenge of the world with God's grace in us. The prime example I want to use is Mary. Mary had a very profound experience of the Holy Spirit. Namely, Jesus was conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit, but didn't end there. She wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm done with that, we can move on. No, from that point forward, the Spirit continued to work in her life. When Jesus stayed behind the temple, the inspiration of the Spirit brought her back to the temple to find him. When Jesus had various moments in his life, what did Mary do? She pondered them. That was a gift of the Spirit, that she could take these events of Jesus' life and capture them in her heart and continue to relive them, to wonder about them, to ponder their mysteries. As Jesus began his ministry, she was there with him every step of the way, wanting to see what was going on, inspired by the Spirit. The most profound moment was Jesus' passion and death, where she was there the whole time, being given the gifts of consolation by the Spirit, the gift of tears to weep over it, the gift of courage to stand firm against the Romans, and most importantly, to be there at the foot of the cross, to experience that moment anew. These were works of the Holy Spirit in her life too. And she should inspire us to do the same. So now our challenge is to recognize the Holy Spirit. But how do we make room? How do we get the Holy Spirit to do something in our lives? Well, Jesus gives us lots of parables and examples to help us. In one parable, he tells the parable of the farmer. The farmer goes out and he cultivates his field and he plows it and he plants the seed. And then Jesus says, he rises day and night and goes out to tend his farm, hoping that the seed will rise. And one day the seed rises and there's shoots and eventually it grows and he has wheat. Yay! But there's more to it than that. Think of the experience of that farmer. He has this profound hope that when he plants those seeds, he'll actually get a crop. Without it, why would he do it? The same thing works with the Holy Spirit. The analogy is the field is like our lives. Our field can be plowed and ready, or it can be full of weeds and trees and all these different things that when you scatter the seed, it never grows. We need to cultivate our lives in such a way where there's space open to let the Spirit in, that although we may not realize how he's working, he can allow these grains of wheat to grow and make produce and help us to realize the fruits of the Spirit. We need that space. In the same way, we think of Mary again at the foot of the cross. She was not the only one there. She was there with Mary of Magdala, and depending on what gospel you read, either John the beloved disciple or Mary of Bethany. Here they are in this profound moment. Jesus is dying on the cross. What does he do? He breathes on them. He breathed his spirit upon the disciples there at the foot of the cross. These three, who were willing to deal with the abuse of the Romans, with the possibility of being killed right then, were in this moment of profound encounter where the Spirit was breathed upon them. Same thing works for us. If we take the time to ponder these events of Jesus' life, to let ourselves be at the foot of the cross, we too can experience the Spirit who inspires, encourages us, give us wisdom and understanding as we try to figure out these mysteries. Where are the other disciples? Really, only one disciple is there. Where are the other 10 of them? Well, they are huddled in the upper room, like we heard in today's gospel. They are afraid. So afraid, they didn't go to see it. So was Jesus like, well, too bad for you. You weren't there. No Spirit for you. No, he doesn't work that way. They were up there for two reasons. The first reason is they're scared of the Jews, and the Romans, technically. They're afraid of what might happen because they believed. So for them, this was a place of safety. Here is where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. Here is a place where they last remembered him. This is a place where they remember him and feel safe. On the second token, they didn't go home. They could have gone back to their work and be like, well, that's done, moving on. They can't, though. Jesus' experience in their lives was so profound, so important, they just can't go back. What are they going to go back to after that? So here they are, hoping for something new. There's this space opened up in their lives that even through their fear, worries, and doubts, he can still work. And he does. Jesus comes in, although the door was locked, and again, he breathes on them. Receive the Spirit. And they received the Spirit. They got a new courage, a new excitement, a new motivation because they were ready for it, that they then can go out and proclaim the gospel in a new way. These are experiences for us too. Doesn't matter if we're in doubt, doesn't matter if we don't believe, doesn't matter if we think our lives are chaotic. That little space is all that God needs to let his Spirit into our lives in a new and profound way that we may experience the graces that come with it. Let's be honest with ourselves. We want the Spirit. You might not be able to put it into words like I am right now, but you want the Spirit. Why? The Spirit gives us consolation. The Spirit is that hope in the midst of our desolation. The Spirit is that wisdom we need when things aren't going right, when we don't know what to do, when we're not sure how to react. The Spirit is that fortitude that we need to stand firm against temptations and the struggles of the world and persevere in the challenge of faith. This is the gifts of the Spirit. We need to start praying anew for these gifts. They're not once and done. We keep praying for them. We keep asking the Holy Spirit to come down upon us again and again and again, just like in the Mass. Every time you come to the Mass, the Holy Spirit comes down upon the gifts again, renewing them, bringing them into something new, not just bread and wine, but the body and blood of Jesus, because we need to continually call down the Spirit upon us and upon our world that we may be imbued with these gifts again, striving for all of us to seek him anew, to feel those graces in our lives and build our hope for the life to come.